Thanks, Matt. So songs, the song One Day is inclusive in the sense that all the verses build on what's in there previously, so you can't really leave out some. Some of the songs don't do that, but My Hope Is in the Lord, another song that would do that kind of same thing. And then there's other ones that are just great songs, and then the verses may be related or may not be, but I always appreciate that song of One Day and all of the inclusiveness that it has in it. In our worship time this morning, we had a couple things that were mentioned. We had many things that were mentioned, but I'll refer to two of them. One was the thought that, you know, if we die, the world considers that to be our defeat. If we go through death, because they really don't know what to do with that. But here the Lord Jesus Christ dies, and it's what? It's a victory, not only for him, but for us as well, too. So the fact that Christ does die is a total different picture than the world looks at death, and so I appreciated that thought. Another thought was the idea of the plan that's in place. It's in place, and it was also in place before the foundation of the world, and that plan was executed exactly and completely. And so the plan before the foundation of the world happened was that Christ was going to come and die for us, and that death was going to take place. I was taking and looking through some of the choice gleanings a little bit for some reason to take and do some stuff, and I came across this other one from September the 21st again. And on Thursday I had mentioned three words that started with the letters UN. What were those words? Unsearchable? Unspeakable? Unseeing. And so, again, when I talked about those things about something that was unspeakable, it doesn't mean that you cannot, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to do that, but then sometimes it might be very difficult to do some of those things. And so, again, this one on September the 21st ended up with that thought. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This is by Ken Gross. And with regards to what I had just mentioned before about the fact that Christ died, there's a plan in place, and it was executed. He says, most gifts that we receive are given to us during our lifetime. But the greatest gift that we've ever gotten, if you've accepted that gift, and it's free, is the Lord Jesus Christ's gift of eternal life. And so because of that great gift that was, I mentioned, before the world was even in existence, he feels that it speaks about the greatness of the gift, and secondly, it speaks about the love and the commitment of the giver. And so because of those ideas, he went on to say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift in that light. And so while the word might be hard to say something, truly we have a great Savior that has planned all this out for us. And so we trust that you might have accepted that gift. As he said, you know, most of the gifts we get during our lifetime, never have anything necessarily before our lifetime. In other words, if somebody's going to have a baby, there's not usually somebody planning the gift before that, because you don't even know you're having a child usually. But the Lord Jesus Christ is much different in that whole process. Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 3. Start with some scripture from there. Mark, chapter 3, and towards the end of that chapter. At beginning of 31, Mark 3 and verse 31, it says, there came then his brother and his mother, and standing outside, sent unto him, calling him. And so it wasn't the fact that it seemed like he wasn't, that they weren't listening, but they wanted him to come to wherever they were. And so the multitude, notice it says, and they sat, and the multitude sat about him, And they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren outside seek for thee. And so he answered them by something that was maybe a little surprising. He says, Who is my mother or my brethren? Well, obviously, he certainly couldn't have forgotten his mother and family. But he goes on to say in verse 34, And he looked around about on those who sat about him and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. And so again, he builds on the fact that there's the physical things I haven't forgotten about, and they seem that way. But he had to be about his father's business, and his father's business was to take and have everyone become part of his family. Even though it wasn't his physical family, it became part of his spiritual family. And so he says that you can be that part if you do what? If you do the will of God. We've been thinking about the wisdom of God throughout our Sunday school, and here's a parallel pathway about the will of God. And so, if you were thinking about that, you know, how would you find out the answers for that, or where would you look for that? How would you find out what the will of God is for you? In His Word? By listening to messages, by listening to other people? By listening to His Word would be certainly one thing, and that's what we've been encouraging different ones to do, is to read. And not only just gain the knowledge, but then to take and understand it and apply that to with wisdom. And so the idea of the will of God, you know, we say, you know, we used to hear when I used to be involved with some of the conferences for young people, because the young people would ask, you know, what's the will of God? What's the purpose for my life? And so they had questions on that. And so, again, the answer would be to consider the Word of God. And so we're going to look at a couple of verses in that way, but then that's certainly by no means exhausting that area. thinking about our speaker from our conference, who was what? Who was who? Who was not what? What? Dr. Scott. Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve Price. Dr. Scott the dentist. But Dr. Scott, Dr. Steve Price, yeah. And so he had the message, and do you think what he had to say would be added to the list? Where did he speak? What was his topic? Where to do what? Right, to worship, and to worship in spirit and truth. So if you were to say, as to one of the answers, what is the will of God for you? Well, then it would be to take and worship God in spirit and truth. Now, you can't do that if you're not a believer. If you're not saved, well, then you might try to do that as the world does, but then it's not accomplishing anything. So there's one thing that you can start with as far as you're making a list of as to what the will of God is. And we've had excellent times meeting together after that time in our worship time as well as other times. So that's one thing that could be on your list as to what the will of God might be, and to take and do that. Again, from the Choice Gleanings, I happened to read this a couple days after the conference, but this was actually the day after the conference. This was on September the 8th. The conference was before that. This was on Monday. And so he gives this verse, and this is by W. period A. period H. period, this is the author of this one. And so he gives that verse of Mark 3:35, you know, who is my mother and brother and so forth, whoever does the will of God. He says, It appears on this occasion that the Lord's mother and brothers came to where he was preaching. For whatever reason, they did not join those gathered to hear the Lord, but rather sent for him to come to them. And that's what it says in that part there. And they called him to come in verse 31 there. Even his listeners were surprised that he ignored their request. What was the reason? He asked. Normally, the Lord would have gladly met with his family, but he was engaged in his father's business and could not be disturbed. Instead, he told his audience that those who did his father's will were his true brethren. So let us be careful not to get loved ones to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And so the idea of what responsibilities that we have, even as some of us are suggesting, shouldn't supersede our desire to take and follow after the spiritual leadership and what God's Word has to say. And so, as I was thinking about that, as to what he was saying, I started to think of the list and trying to add to the list besides what Dr. Steve Price had to say as far as the list. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 13. At times I had reference to Stephen's, what his speech was, what he had said, and the history that he had gave to the group of people. But this is beyond Stephen. He has already been executed. Acts chapter 13, breaking into verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So you can see who was coming and doing this. It was in the beginning of the chapter there. It says, and after the reading of the law and of the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, and so here the idea of just the idea of just the thought of reading God's word, and that's what we also try to encourage people to do, and that's what we try to do, and that's what we're doing even right this moment, is reading God's word. They said, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And so, they weren't sure what they were going to hear. They were going to say, but they were letting the Spirit of God direct them as to what they were going to say. It says in verse 16, Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and you that fear God, listen. And so it goes on to another thing. This was another thing, that sort of history that happened, and we're not going to read some of it. You can do that like we looked at Stephen's messages of stuff on that, of the history. But we're going to go down to verse 36. That other area is also good to read. It says in verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation, by what? By the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. So what happened to him? He died. Okay, and so that's recorded in the sense that he died. But what did he do by the will of God? What's it say there? He served his own generation. So right now, while you're living, that's what different ones have been asked to do, is teaching and speaking and so forth, to serve your generation, to serve those that are here by speaking or by teaching or by other acts of commitment or other things. It doesn't just have to be those areas. There's all kinds of areas to use your gift, but to serve your generation, and not just by your own means, but it says by the will of God. And so he was directed to do that, and he felt led to do it, and he did it. But then he died. But then it goes on to say in verse 37, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And so we've been talking about the wisdom of God, and it's dealing with what? As far as the foolishness versus the wisdom of God as far as the message goes. To preach the gospel, to preach the cross, other things appear as that appears as being foolish to people, but that's what we've been encouraged to do, is to preach the cross. And so he said, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And so all that was in there in the Old Testament couldn't save the person, And he tells them that, and so he's passing on that information. That here's David, he's served his own generation, but then he died. But here's a person who's also dying, but he's living. And a very important contrast to David and the follower of David on the throne. So I thought that was a nice thing to consider about the will of God and serving your own generation, your own time, you know, being used by the Lord while you're living. Romans, you can go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I'm not there yet. Romans chapter 1 at verse 10. Making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. So what is that kind of saying? Something that we usually tell somebody, well, I might see it tomorrow by the will of God, you know. Sometimes everybody thinks we're going to definitely do something, but then, you know, we realize that in God's time, it doesn't necessarily have to happen. And so by God's will, it may happen or it may not happen. And so in this case, that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Something similar to that would be in Romans chapter 15. And Romans chapter 15, one verse there at the end, sort of. Verse 32. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. So he begins and ends the book by saying, by the will of God, I hope to have a prosperous journey to see you. By the will of God, I hope to have a joy where you can refresh me and help me by seeing you. And this is all by the will of God. He decides to end my life before that because he's in prison. Well, then that's what God decided to do. But he's trusting the Lord will work out all the different things, and he did that for Paul. As he will do that for each and every one of us as well, too. Galatians, we'll look at that Galatians for another verse in chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, about the plan that we had mentioned about this morning and also tonight. Verse 4 says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God and our Father. And so the Lord and the Father and God the Father realizes that this world is evil. And he had a plan way before us, way before the world started, to take and deliver us from this evil world. He knew the consequences of what was going to happen, and it continues to get worse and worse all the time. But we have to realize that by the will of God, that he's going to take and be with us and deliver us, because why? He already gave himself for us is so that we could have eternal life. So why wouldn't he also help us to our life after that point as well, too? And so we can count on him, and the will of God will, it'll take place in his will and time, but it definitely will take place. That he'll deliver us either now or in the future here. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. And then we'll look at verse 15. as he gives about the fact that we are a chosen generation earlier, he says in verse 15, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." And so the idea of, again, the things that we talked about before without the wisdom of God, and the things that appear to be foolishness to man, is to end up putting them to silence, even though it may not seem like, by doing well, by doing the right things. And so you can add that as, this is what God would like you to do, this is his will, this is what you can add to the list of what you should do, one of the areas that you can do, by doing well, and do well doing, by well doing things well, and that'll speak to people, even though perhaps you might not think so at different times, but it can and does. And so he's looking for a changed life. Chapter 4 of Peter. And verse 2. Saying it another way, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So what you can add to that list is, again, not the flesh, but you want to do the spiritual life. He wants you to have a changed life, by well-doing, doing things well and the right things, and so you're to eliminate the flesh and to take and follow after him. Now, it needs to be, your salvation needs to be in place. Men, if they're still trying to do it by works and everything, that's not going to count for anything. And so, again, the idea of what we can do has to be with a reference to a person that knows him as a personal Savior, has a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians. We'll go back to Ephesians for a verse there. And chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Again, this is a different way of saying it, but the same idea of leaving the flesh. It says, "And not with eye service, as men pleases, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." And so again, adding to your list of what is the will of God, it should be coming from the heart, that you should be in a servant mode. And it's not to take and gain any awards for what man would like to do by eye service or as men pleases. So again, what we do for the Lord doesn't necessarily maybe get credit at all, hardly. But then he keeps the record of all that's done for him. And so not with eye service, but with being a servant, to take it and also doing it from the heart. Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We'll go to a verse in 1 Thessalonians. And chapter 4. And 1 Thessalonians 4, and just verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God." And so, again, if you want to look at a list, here's something you can add to the list. So what is it? It says, verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." So again, the idea of sanctification, and they mentioned fornication, but it's again just anything that would be wrong. You certainly don't want the things that are wrong, but rather the things that would be sanctified, that would be separate. And again, we have spoken on that idea. So there's just a whole general term of rather the flesh versus the sanctified person. Both of those things in contrast to one another. Chapter 5 and verse 18 of Thessalonians. It says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so the idea of giving thanks, as we do constantly, or encourage others to do constantly, plus doing that. So that's another thing, to get away from the flesh, to take and be servants, to be sanctified, to take and give thanks, to have a changed life. This is what the Lord is looking for in his list of what is the will of God and what would be pleasing to him. Let's go back to Peter again. First Peter again. In chapter 3. First Peter 3 and then verse 17. Go to 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer with well-doing for the evil-doing. I mentioned the idea of well-doing before from the other verse there, and the fact of here, it connects it with the idea of suffering. As we realize that there's many people that are serving the Lord in other areas, and there are many people that are trying to be a Christian and yet being persecuted terribly and suffering greatly. And so the idea of suffering is part of what God would like to add to the list. I said he would like to add that because through suffering is how you can take and grow. We talked about the idea of growth and how we could do that and different ways you could do it. First of all, by seeking after him. Chapter 4 of Peter and verse 19, same 1 Peter. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Here's kind of a tremendous verse. You realize a creator, if he's the creator and he has a tremendous amount of power, then if we commit ourselves to him for our keeping, and then consider the fact of our well-doing, that this is the will of God in our life, then there's going to be suffering as well as going to be coming. Wherefore, to let them suffer, commit themselves. In other words, don't say, I don't want to go through whatever I'm going through, and say, well, maybe I can get around it, because that's not the path that God maybe has chosen for you. He's a faithful creator, says, and as we've had all these other scriptures there, he does bless if we're following after his will, to do his will. Okay, one more for this part of it. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. Verse 26. Again, we have the Spirit left. The Lord Jesus Christ has left. And so we have the Spirit of God with us still. It says in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so again, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone back to make intercession for us. And then we have the Spirit with us also taking and helping us with intercession, helping us with our groanings, helping us with things that we don't even know how to say, the things that perhaps would be unspeakable. In verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God, according to the will of God. So the Spirit is also functioning according to the will of God. And so, again, that idea of benefit of having the Spirit in us, if we are a saved person, is tremendous. And the fact that, he hasn't left us comfortless, but he's left us with all kinds of things that we can look at, the Word of God, that we can look at help with other people, and then we can have the Spirit working in our life. Is tremendous work that the world doesn't know much about sometimes. So, again, the thoughts, again, about the will of God. You can add more things, perhaps, to your list than what I had. But, again, it does, God's Word does give you answers as to what God would be happy with and enjoy. In our Bible study, let's turn to Jeremiah. We've looked at this for the guy, a couple guys that were yesterday. And Jeremiah chapter 21. As we got to this point, we realized that God's pathway was fixed. It wasn't going to be changed. Jerusalem and Judah were going to be destroyed, and Babylonian captivity was going to take place. And so, again, the idea as we looked at this was the fact of this is something that happened to them because they were outside the will of God. And I thought this was a tremendous example to take and prove to the other side of the fact, or the other side of the coin, that the will of God is important to follow. Let's go to 21. We'll start at verse 1. Just read a few verses. It says, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord." And so it goes on to say in verse 2, "Inquire, I pray thee, the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us." And so again, they did remember some of the works, even as we've talked about the works that of God, if we remember some of the things that God does for us in our worship times. And so they could remember some of them, but then they realized they were in trouble and hoped that they could draw on that bank and benefit from that. So he says to Jeremiah, this is what you're supposed to tell Zedekiah. Verse 4. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, with which you fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans who besiege you outside the walls, and I will assemble them in the midst of this city. And notice this is the one verses that we really thought about quite a bit for a moment. Verse 5. And I myself will fight, what? Fight for you? Fight against you. And how will he do that? It says, with an outstretched arm, outstretched hand, and with a strong arm, even in anger, and in fury, and in great wrath. So here he mentions all the areas that perhaps somebody goes through that we were thinking about. And here we got the Lord against them. A bad thing to have, as they were to find out. And here it talks about outstretched hand and strong arm, even in anger and fury and in great wrath. So it has all the different elements of what man might try to do and that man does do as far as the fleshly part of things. It says, "And I will," in verse 6, "and I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both men and beasts, they shall die of a great pestilence." And in verse 8, "And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." And again, this judgment came upon them as we were looking and considering, not because the Lord wanted it to happen, but because of their own choice of what they did. And so what I'm trying to say is an opposite example to what we've been looking at as far as the will of God. They weren't doing the will of God at all. They had all the potential to do that. They had everything there, and they thought they could count on the Lord going to bat for them. But then he didn't, not because of himself. He had to take and judge them. You can hold your finger here because we're sort of done with it, but maybe you'd like to come back to this and read this. But I'd like to just, as it was pointed out to us, let's go to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And we can take, if you forget, you can go back and think about what he had done with the plagues and how he drove them crazy. And so maybe you might not believe that to happen. And then I don't hear of anybody in Egypt, when they talk about Egyptian history, I don't know if anybody talks about those plagues. So I don't know if it's sort of not recorded or written down, or they just kind of try to ignore them. But he says, I'm going to do that to Pharaoh, and we have that as a testimony of what he can do. And verse 2, and God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with what? With an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And so here, again, the opposite was, here they couldn't, this is what they could have had, and they did have for a while, but then by their own choice, they chose a different life, and so the Lord had to punish them, just as the way he's going to have to punish different ones too. So again, the will of God would be to start with, to know him as your personal Savior, and then to follow after what he has to say in his word. And if you're not doing that, then maybe God has to judge different things for different ways. But again, you can look at Jeremiah and see, you know, what the Lord had to do, and he had to destroy Judah. Israel was already taken, and just Judah was left. And so again, the idea, are you doing the will of God for your life, that you can choose to do so, and that you can be going to God rather than what the world might have to offer.